Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. I'm Bob. I'm reading today from the Free Grace Broadcaster. It's the summer edition. These editions can all be sent to you. Just go to chapel@mountzion.org, chapel@mountzion.org, and you'll be able to ask them through an email, please send me the Free Grace Broadcaster. And they'll do that every quarter. It'll be free. There'll be no obligation, whatever. Just ask them for it. And every quarter, they'll send you this booklet that has a different topic with different speakers, different articles written by different men like Spurgeon and so forth. This time around, we're going to be listening to William Plummer. Plummer was a Presbyterian minister and author, born in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. He lived from 1802 to 1880. William Plummer. It's called The Properties of Providence. God's knowledge results from his nature. It is holy, just, benevolent, wise, supreme, and sovereign, sure and stable, powerful and irresistible. The world over, the unrenewed heart is pagan in its inclinations. It does not like to retain God in its thoughts. The Epicurean doctrine that God is too exalted to notice the affairs of men naturally flows from the ignorance and enmity of the carnal mind. But Matthew 20:15, shall I not do as I please with my own? That's the challenge of the Almighty. To manage the affairs of the universe cannot disturb the divine tranquility. To him who made all things by the word of his power, the care of them cannot be burdensome. God is not like man. He never grows weary. That he has a right to establish an all-pervading government over his creatures is as certain as that he has any rights at all. Were our hearts not wrong, we should glory in his providence. And were our minds not feeble and our faculties not limited, we should see that all objection to God's care of the world was worse than frivolous. In this age, it is commonly admitted that the Lord liveth and ruleth in the kingdoms of men. This is the avowed theory. The practical belief of many is quite diverse. There are not a few whose prevailing plans, fears, and hopes would hardly be more practically atheistic if they should avow disbelief of God's existence and of the divine government over human affairs. Were God in open day before their eyes, miraculously to suspend the laws of nature, they might for a time, perhaps, be impressed and confess that here was the finger of God. It is probable, however, that this impression would not be lasting, for in his ceaseless support and maintenance of the course of nature, such men perceive nothing to admire, nothing to adore. Were the hand that moves all worlds to arrest the sun in the heavens and cause him to stand still for even an hour, they might say, this is the Lord. But the sun may rise, run his race, and duly set 365 times in the year, and nothing is said or thought of him, at whose rebuke the pillars of heaven tremble. And by whose ordinance the everlasting mountains and the order of universal nature have their stability. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand. Psalm 92:6. Such men virtually or actually say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard. Psalm 94:7. To correct such errors is one object of revelation. Scripture puts the stamp of profaneness on all such thoughts as allow men to believe that they may act independently of God. God is above all law, being himself independent and supreme. His own infinitely excellent nature is the law of his being and of his action. This very nature fits him in all respects to be the ruler of the world. God's providence is holy, and because God is holy, His providence is holy in all its works. He plots no mischief, works no evil, favors no sin. But in the winding up of human affairs, he will bring a terrible overthrow on all the workers of iniquity. He hates sin with a perfect hatred. To him it is a horrible thing. It cannot be proven that God hates anything but sin, nor has any mortal an adequate conception of the intensity of the aversion of the divine mind to every form and species of iniquity. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. Revelation 15:4. Indeed, the bliss of the heavenly world depends upon the absolute and unqualified confidence of saints and angels in the infinite rectitude of God's nature. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Psalm 145:17. God's providence is just. From God's holiness necessarily results his justice. Dr. Wood says the plan of providence is such that sin will be stigmatized and sinners punished, while holiness will be honored and those who are holy rewarded. Justice is certainly an amiable attribute in any person or government, and by a fiction of law under the British Constitution, the king can do no wrong. The reason is that his ministers are responsible. But it is no fiction of law or theology that the judge of all the earth cannot but do right. In the worship of the temple not made with hands, they sing, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." God's providence is benevolent. Indeed, God's tender mercies are over all his works. The same benevolence which prompted him to create the world must prompt him to preserve and govern it. When we consider the care of providence over the children of men, as it is manifested either in the works of nature or of grace, we naturally fall into the reflection, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" And we wonder to see so much done for men who seem to have no merit or desert equal to the concern shown for them. God's providence is wise. In it are no gaps, no failures, no mistakes, no oversights. The same wisdom which contrived so wonderful and glorious a system can and will direct and control it. Because God's plans embrace all causes and all effects, all facts and all possibilities, all actions and all words, it is impossible that he should be overreached. It is infinitely easy for him to take the wise in their own craftiness. The greatest monarch of his time, one whose kingdom embraced much of the wealth, learning, and civilization of the world, and who was surrounded by able men, said to the Council of State, "Come on, let us deal wisely." That was Pharaoh in Exodus 1:10. They formed their plans, and from first to last they were encompassed with difficulties, and they were followed by terrific judgments. "Go now and stand with Moses, Aaron, and Miriam on the banks of the Red Sea, and behold the end of all this wise dealing. Pharaoh, his host, and his chosen captains are perished. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. They sank as lead in the mighty waters," Exodus 15:5 and 10. All the amazing operations of vegetation are by inspired men ascribed to the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working, Isaiah 28:29. "O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches, and so is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts." God's providence is supreme and therefore sovereign. It is over all and above all. He has no divided dominion. He is sole arbiter of events and destinies. He says, "See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, and I make alive. I wound, and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Deuteronomy 32:39. I am the first, and I am the last. Beside me there is no God, Isaiah 44:6. I am the Lord. There is none else. There is no God beside me. There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me, Isaiah 45, verses 5 and 21. So that it is as clear that God rules alone as that he rules at all, that he rules everywhere as that he rules anywhere, that he governs all agents, all causes, and all events as that he governs any of them. To surrender in whole or in part his control of the universe would be to admit that he was not God, that another was as strong, as wise, or as good as himself. It would argue some defect in him who has all perfection. An angel would be burdened with the sole charge of one man, because an angel is a finite creature and has none but derived attributes. But the care of the universe is no burden to the Almighty, because he is God. His will is the law of all worlds. He stretched out the earth above the waters, Psalm 136:6. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that he did in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all the deep places, Psalm 135:6. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? That's Daniel 4:35. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens, Psalm 113:4. God's providence is sure and stable. Whoever wishes to walk securely needs but to conform himself to its settled provisions and principles. Never was there a sin that did not bring misery. Never was the human being born that did not make some impression on the world. Never was there an effect without a cause. Never did God change a principle of moral law. Never did he abolish a physical law. Never did the hand of the negligent make rich. Never was there a time when destruction was not easy and construction difficult. Never was the general course of providence without its compensations. The Lord setting the day of adversity over against the day of prosperity, or comforting the heart of his troubled ones with the fact that the same afflictions are accomplished in their brethren. Greatly was the psalmist comforted with this view of the stability of God's government. Forever, O Lord, he said, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. God's providence is powerful. Yes, it is irresistible. His providence not only consults, but it also executes. It not only devises, but it also puts into operation. It not only sees how evil may be prevented, but it also prevents evil. It is so powerful that it even brings good out of evil, making bad men and fallen angels to serve God's designs, while they intend no such thing. It gives the greatest efficiency to causes apparently the most contemptible, and infallibly secures the accomplishment of the very best ends. The author of providence is the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. All the other attributes of God would not avail us if he had not omnipotence, whereby to enforce and execute his will. All other properties of his providence would fail to give effectual consolation if it lacked divine power. No marvel, therefore, that the Scriptures so frequently celebrate the triumphs of omnipotence. Otherwise, the wicked would say, where is their rock in whom they have trusted? As to the Assyrian, as so to every foe, Jehovah says, because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come up into my ears, therefore I will put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way by which thou camest. It will be for an everlasting rejoicing to all the righteous that when God makes a covenant of peace with his people, he is able to cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, so that his people may dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. By his almighty power, he bringeth mariners out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. All conspiracies and combinations against providence are vain. All of that was from the book Jehovah Jireh, A Treatise on Providence. You can find that at www.sprinklepublications.net. Sprinklepublications.net. Well, that's pretty heavy, pretty serious stuff, don't you think? Yeah, let's take it seriously. Our God is our God. Not just our good buddy up in the sky, okay? He's our God. He is God. So we'll be talking more about providence. This quarterly, this time, is all about providence. We will, next time, Lord willing, go back to Ezekiel. We're going back and forth to give you a little break. Those of you who got behind with Ezekiel want to catch up a little bit. We're giving you some time. And giving a little diversification to others, too. We have the works of great men of God on this site, if you haven't noticed yet. Spurgeon and others. Just check them out. Just check the index that we have there. We've got their stories, their words. We've got North Korea audios. We've got studies of Quran and Muhammad through the Bible commentaries, the Bible studies and commentaries on individual books. 61 titles are available, books on Kindle. You can get them for $1. Or just click on store there. You'll see the whole list there. They're available through my website at amazon.com. I have a blog every day. I have a Zoom connection where you men that want to be a part of a men's fellowship, just join us by sending me an email. I'll send you the link to the Zoom meeting. It's every Saturday night, 7 o'clock Central Time. Facebook friends, look me up. Bob Faulkner in Niles. Send me a friend request and we will be friends forever because you are a Christian and I am. So this is the beginning of a forever friendship right there on Facebook. That's one good thing about Facebook anyway. I know some other things. We have another little thing coming up here. I'll talk about it more as the days go by, but YouTube is coming back. Finally found the way that I can get on YouTube and feel comfortable. You realize I've been in and out of some of these places for reasons of my own, but I think I found the way now to share on YouTube. All right, this is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and Lord willing, we get to talk again real soon. Bye-bye.